You should have seen me in Tucson. By the way, Tucson, wonderful folks. Had a great time. Very warm, wonderful, loving people. Little on the white trash end, but we can't all be perfect. Well, so am I. No, they were just like regular folks. Went out to the Desert Diamond Casino on Saturday night. We had a party. They crammed, like 500 people crammed into this sports bar, and there was like overflow. They had to turn people away. And we got up and did some shtick from the show, so they were just, everybody was going ape. And, you know, I basically just got up and started interviewing myself. And then you'd hear people go, Father McQuarters! It's like they're yelling out, R.C. Collins! Most of them guys, and the girlfriends are just, what is this? You know, there was a lot of chicks in the audience, though. We had a huge number of women there on, when was it? Saturday night. And then we went out to dinner with Jerry Meisner and his staff, the guys who run the radio station Jolt in Tucson. Thank you so much. Great affiliate, great town, great perfect station for us, and perfect listeners for us, all white and dumb. Now, You guys know I'm kidding. So that was a lot of fun. We rented a car in Phoenix and drove to Tucson because I didn't want to do the puddle jump thing. Not because I don't like flying puddle jumpers, but primarily because by the time you rent the car and get there, it takes you less time than if you flew, you know? Although Avis, good company, but maybe you could tell us where the car is on a lot when it's 186 degrees. I thank you so very deeply for that. Good God. I had a lady, she's a nice gal, I said, can we get the car? Yeah. So you go to the lot, and the car, the thing will drop you off the van, and then the car will be right there. So I go, I don't know what, she wrote down some scribble, it looked like some doctor who hadn't got, taken his Latin. And, now you're on an asphalt parking lot in Tucson, and it's June. You do the math. Okay? And meanwhile, Michelle's with me, she's in like 5-inch heels. And you know me, I got a fuse about that long. So within 2 seconds, I'm chasing down the guy in the van. Hey, where's this car? The guy's like, sir, I only drive the van, man. I don't know. Don't yell at me, please. So then we ran back in and found the car and got in and we went. And off we went, doing about 900 miles an hour down the Interstate 10, little 2-lane stretch through the desert. Man, that is, talk about desert. I mean, it's like where the westerns, with those cactuses that like they have arms. Remember in the cartoons, the cactuses would start dancing with the arms? And all those, have you ever actually seen a butte or a mesa? I mean, you may have heard of them. Have you ever seen one? It's a big butte and mesa there. And, places like Casa Grande, that's where those adobe, you ever seen the pictures of the Indian adobe houses up on the side of the hill? That's where that is. And on we went, and we got into... Now, when you go out to the desert in the summer, I like it, because there's fewer people, you can just hang out by the pool. You got enough beer, man. Everything's good. If enough beer, anything is possible. Remember that, always remember that, and you'll get through life just fine. With enough beer, anything's possible. And I don't care if it's 186 degrees. If you got a big, fat case of cold greenies, I can sit by that freaking pool, man, jump in every 5 seconds. What's wrong with that? And there's nobody around. The only problem is it's off-season, so they're at what they call a minimal staff, which means when I went into my room, it was a great hotel, but when I went into my room, there was like a dolly there, like somebody had been moving a piano. And... nice hotel, though. And then we, went down to the Desert Diamond Casino. It's a really cool place, and they had a magnificent sports bar, which we were able to go in, do our thing, and then we signed autographs for everybody. People were very, very cool. Everybody gives you gifts. Anytime you do a personal appearance, people come with things that they give you, and I've got a stash of stuff. Now, food, forgive me, I can't do it. I don't want to eat what you made, because you might be, you've put something in it. What if you've got TB and you don't know it? It's not, it's no offense. Phil, hi. We made some Rice Krispie squares, huh? Go ahead and eat one right now. No, I tell you what, I'll have one. Oh, come on, you got to have. Although there's the one guy that every year that gives us those almonds that are deep fried in butter. Oh, my. Does it sound? I'm going to tell you something. It's the greatest thing I've ever had. This dude takes almonds and somehow does a deep frying in butter. You've never had anything so good in your life. And every year, as a matter of fact, dude, wherever you are, you're a little stingy, man. We didn't get our bag this year. But every year he'd give us these bags.
Why don't you share the gifts with your staff instead of being selfish pig?
Really, bud? Well, I tell you what, why don't you be my taste tester then, man?
What do you mean?
When someone gives me food, you eat it first.
But if it's poison?
Exactly. I guess you die. Then I guess I don't have to deal with you any longer. So, you know, they'll give you things, you know, CDs, bands.
Be my taste tester.
Who said that?
David Hall. That was his line. I just used it.
Well, then why don't we bring him on?
Why don't you beat me up? Beep. Yeah, never mind.
What a tard. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he went beep, 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 beep.
Good Lord. So that was a guess. All right, now, we do have Herb Sewell coming up. I want to mention one other thing concerning the podcast. Yeah, we got the emails. Now, many of you don't even know what it is I'm talking about. Just a casual listener to our show. The podcast is really the latest technology, computer technology, to download material without even having to think about it. It automatically goes into your iPod. And we provide this service for our Backstage Pass members. Every show will automatically go into their iPod. Now, what's happened is we've been thrown a big curveball by the RIAA, which is the Recording Industry Association of the planet Earth. And they don't want any music downloaded. Now, they don't mind if we play music on the show. For instance, you just heard the Empire Strikes Back theme, or you'll hear Dancing Queen. They don't want it in any materials and in any program content that is downloadable. Because what that means is their music is now being delivered by way of a pay service, in our case, our subscription service, and so they feel like they should get a cut. Now, our argument is this. We're only playing a few seconds of it, and the music that we are playing actually is free, you know, publicizes these are songs that ordinarily, who's going to go out and buy the Empire Strikes Back theme? And of course, their point is exactly that's why we want our money. So we have to strip the musical content. And it has made for an unlistenable experience for a lot of people. I want to tell you, I understand all the emails that we've been getting. Some of you, in fact, have emailed 3, 4, 5, 6 times, which is really way too much, because then we just throw it away. We don't care anymore. But we're working on something right now. I just talked to Brian G., the guy who's upstairs, the guy who sits behind a curtain and pushes knobs and things and pulls on a knob. And he told me that we have a solution to the problem. So just pretend like you're paying your $6.95 for a Backstage Pass before we had the podcast. Pretend like it's like last spring. So now it's not going to bother you. See, like hey man, I'm not getting my money's worth. What do you mean? It's not 2005, it's 2004. Dummkopf. And so that way, I'm told in a few weeks everything's going to be good. So please bear with us. I appreciate it. God bless you. And thank you so very deeply for listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, Herb Sewell, by request on The Phil Hendry Show. We'll also have a pediatrician on to talk to parents that are continually late to appointments with their kids who have cancer. Oh, God! And we also have Austin Amarca, who will be with us. He's in litigation with the Oaks Hill Mall after being asked to leave and never return because he was seen at the mall over the weekend with his newborn son on his... Nursing from... I don't want to talk to this guy, bud.
Right. I booked him.
I don't want to talk to this guy. And, you know, other garbage. On Friday is our webcast, so if you don't have your Backstage Pass for that, please head on over to the website, www.philhendryshow.com, and get your Backstage Pass for our first ever 3-hour-long webcast of The Phil Hendry Show. And if you saw our old webcasts... The 360-degree webcast, the video quality on that isn't anywhere near as good as this is going to be. This is going to be very, very good quality. We'll be working with one camera on Friday, but eventual webcasts will have as many as 4. So go to our website, get your Backstage Pass. Now it's time for our flashback request from John Barr. Hey, Phil, I'd like to hear Herb Sewell talking about tsunamis off the West Coast and ended up mounting a fish. Did you write this, bud?
No, I swear.
All right, anyway, it's by request from John Barr, Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yes.
Where are you right now?
I'm doing a little trout fishing, Phil, here in the Pacific Northwest.
It's 9:30 at night.
Yes, it is. And something that I don't think too many people are aware of is that trout fishing is quite prolific at night. And so I'm standing here in hip waders, with a little basket off to my side. I'm just tossing the fly here into the stream.
At 9:30 at night in the dead of winter.
That's correct, yes.
All right. Anyway, what you're doing with your book... By the way, why is the book called Splendor in the Night?
I called the book Splendor of the Night because it's filled, really, with the horror of what can happen during a tsunami on the West Coast, which is very possible. And
yeah, but why is it called Splendor in the Night? I think it was a love story.
I wanted people to buy the book, so I want them to think that they're buying...
a love story.
That's correct, yes. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. So the book is about a tsunami.
Yeah. Imagine, if you will, Phil, a earthquake, a 9.0 earthquake, under the Pacific Ocean, that creates a tsunami that hits the American Northwest with such force that we're not talking about deaths in the hundreds of thousands, we're talking about deaths in the millions. That is what possibly awaits us. You know, so...
Well, what do you mean? What is the scientific evidence?
Well, right now, we've talked to geologic experts along the West Coast, and I can tell you that we could experience calamity similar to the one that has been unfolding a half a world away. I spoke with the U.S. Geologic Survey, and the same geologic circumstances, similar to those in Sumatra, also exist just off the Pacific Northwest coast, you see. And so what we've got in the Pacific Northwest right now is a loaded gun that could trigger a tsunami that could cause a holocaust of spirit as well as flesh in Northern California, Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia in minutes. Not days, but too fast for the nation's deep-sea tsunami warning system to help. And I have written this book in the hopes that people will become educated. And
yeah, and you've called it Splendor in the Night, so that everybody will think they're reading some kind of a Harlequin romance.
I certainly understand your reticence, but what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to sell a book here. And
all right, well, what are you saying that the geologists believe that we have the same, I don't know, the same criteria?
Well, the elements exist off of the northwest coast of the United States to trigger a tsunami, and let's be clear as to what a tsunami is.
Yeah, it's a tidal wave, right?
It is a tidal wave. A tidal wave, imagine if you would, going to the beach, and seeing coming at you, not a wave of 6, 7, or 8 feet, but a wall of water some 50 to 100 feet high. I can guarantee you whatever you thought it was that was holding your bowels intact, you know, is...
Your laugh is a little nerve-wracking.
Well, Emma, I'm trying to get you to understand.
It's a big wave.
It is a very large wave. Now, I've spoken to scientists say a giant rupture along the fault would cause the seafloor to bounce 20 feet or more, setting off powerful ocean waves. That's all that happens, is when the floor of the ocean begins to bounce, it sets off these waves that are relatively close to the shore. And the first waves could hit coastal communities in 30 minutes or less, according to the computer models that I've seen.
All right, now, why are you mentioning the communities of Seattle, Vancouver?
Well, the other big cities in the region probably would be relatively protected from deadly flooding to their inland locations, but other smaller communities, if you lived along the coast of Oregon, for instance, and these smaller communities, Cannon Beach, for example, would be completely destroyed. Every living soul would be washed out to sea. Smaller towns along the farming communities of Oregon, Washington, all human life as we know it, as we recognize it, would be completely wiped away. Whole communities devastated, children, parents, everyone dead.
Okay.
It's about the same thing.
All right. Now, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said, are you enjoying this? Can I just ask you?
Enjoying what? I'm doing some trout fishing, right?
I know you're fishing, but are you enjoying this conversation about, you write a book called Splendor in the Night so that you can sell it. It sounds like a Harlequin romance, and it's about a tsunami holocaust.
Well, it's, oh, no, I'm just saying, I told you about the title. I'm trying to...
Yeah, I know. You're trying to sell a book. Look, dude, if you're going to name a book about a hurricane, about a tsunami splendor in the night, you're going to have women. And
hold on, Phil. I think I hooked one.
You got that one pretty good.
You're right about that, John. Hold on, Phil. I think I've got myself a brown. I've got a brown, John. Go ahead, get the net.
All right, we're talking here with Herb Sewell of the... Well, he's an author of nothing. He's written a book called Splendor in the Night. If it sounds like a romance, he named it that so he could sell it. It's about a tsunami that would wipe out the Northwest coast.
Yeah, get a real big
one. John's with me.
You're much. It's a rainbow.
I think we've got a rainbow trout. If it's a lovely, big, oh, my God, it's got to be at least 5 pounds.
Boy, that's a hell of a trout.
It's a hell of a trout. You're not giving it to your family to eat. I'm sorry.
My family's hungry.
You're not eating this. I'm mounting it. And
you're going to take it home and mount it on a plaque and put it in your office?
No, I'm going to mount it right here and now. Because...
Yes, David.
Ain't that a long way to run for one punchline?
Never mind. That's a good bit. I like that. I liked him describing how everything was going to get wiped out in Oregon. Something, and I had nothing against my fine Oregon listeners, but you have to understand, I relax by fantasizing about how your state is going to get completely wiped out by a tidal wave. But I've got nothing against you guys. I love you guys, and I'm glad that you listen to my show, but it's the way I relax, imagining all of you dying. All right. Joking around, you know, it's how I get my kicks. I got a black sense of humor, okay? I can speak for black people because my sense of humor is black. 1-800-449-8686. Have you seen the gas prices? Woo-wee! Have you seen the price of oil per barrel? Woo-wee! When are we going to get with it, baby? When are we going to get serious? People say to me, hey, Phil, you said you were going to buy a hybrid and then you didn't. You lied, you hypocrite. No wonder we don't want to get hybrids. We trusted in you and you failed us. And I write them back emails. I say, what has it got to do with anything, whether I buy it? Who cares if I lied? I didn't lie. I changed my mind. I didn't get a hybrid. But the facts remain. You know, I can be whatever I am and I can say whatever I am. But the fact remains, this is getting out of control. $58, $60 a... These Arabs are sticking a gun in our ribs. When are we going to fight back? All these cats that worry about Mideast policy and whether the United States is conducting itself in the Middle East the way we ought to. I mean, what else are we going to do, man? What, are we going to go back there and like, let's pull all the troops out and go back to the 1970s diplomacy, which would, like, go through the UN and everything's good, hijacked airplanes. Hey, that crap didn't work any better. The only way we're going to get out of that place, man, is if we start doing something about this gasoline situation. This is like highway robbery. Is anybody going to start getting angry about this? Probably it'll happen soon enough. Well, you know what? I don't know. I thought when the price of cigarettes went up to $10 a pack, I'd quit. Nope. Cigarettes right now cost $50 for one package of 20. I pay it gladly. Right now... And if you go and try to get it out of a... Remember the old cigarette machines where you pulled the thing out and it would come down and you'd have to... You'd go to the barmaid. Yeah, have you got 50 quarters? I haven't seen a cigarette machine in years. Then they upgraded it to the little push button. And the thing came out. And they even got it hip to the point where you slid in the dollar bill, which is, to this day, they haven't perfected that. When are they going to get that one right? Yeah, excuse me, have you got a freshly printed $1 bill without one wrinkle in it? Not even so much as a hair of a wrinkle? Otherwise, I can't get this Coca-Cola that I need to keep my body hydrated for the next 5 seconds before I die. Just slide your dollar bill in and get your drink, you know. And is there a worse feeling in the world when you feed the thing and it spits it back out? Feed it in, spits it back. Well, what do you want? And then you look like a real retard trying to straighten out all the wrinkles as if you're ironing a shirt. Then you put it in, spits it back out. And now, everybody, it's time for the Cowboy Jim Show. That's right, Cowboy Jim with Crusader Rabbit. Billy the Barnacle. Uncle Joe the Pervert. Mickey the Milkman that does your mom. And all the Cowboy Jim characters. Hello, boy and girl. Hey, it's Cowboy Jim. How's everybody today? You're all looking good, huh? Did you all take a bath? Good, good. Let's check it off now. Did you help mom around the house?
Yeah!
All right. Did you pick your nose and eat it?
Yeah!
All right. Okay, good. Did you fart and then giggle?
Yeah!
Okay. And finally, did you slap your sister across the face with a ukulele?
Yeah!
All right. So everybody did the right thing here. Now today, boys and girls, what we're going to do here is we're going to do gun safety. Now, how many kids out there have a BB gun?
Yeah!
I know you do, and BB guns can be very, very dangerous. Now, a BB gun should only be used for target practice. I don't, you know, Cowboy Jim, I tell you, don't you go out and you shoot little birds and squirrels and cats and things like that. Now, you can blow the head off of a lizard for all I care, but, you know, Cowboy Jim doesn't want you, and you sure don't want to point the BB gun at your face, because it'll put your eye out. All right? Now, let's get in Rudy the Clown. Rudy, come on in. Ah, Rudy, you're such a goofball. Rudy, give me that BB gun. Now, see this BB gun that Rudy gave me here? This is a standard little BB gun, and we're going to bring in Mr. Price. Mr. Price is from Big Jim Sporting Goods. Let's say hello to Mr. Price. Mr. Price, how are you?
Well, I'm very good, Cowboy Jim. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Price, this is a nice little BB gun.
Yes, it is.
All right, now, we don't want to point this at our face, do we?
No, you don't want to do that because BB guns can hurt you. What you want to do when you load the BBs in here, you put them right there in the bag.
I'll do it. I know what I'm doing. Imagine this guy coming in, long, cool drink of water.
Cowboy Jim, you have to be very, very careful, please.
I know what I'm doing with a BB gun, okay? You don't point it at your eye, but you have that pointed directly at your ball. Say that again? You have that pointed directly at your ball.
Yeah, you're right, I did. Shoot. Oh, boy, that stings. That really stings.
I told you not to do that.
Well, I guess you didn't tell me soon enough, did you? Now you die.
Well, wait a minute. Boys and girls, we'll be back with a Crusader Rabbit cartoon right after this. It's part of the bit. Why did you have to come in like that?
Because I don't hear any talking.
That was part of the bit.
What?
The announcer got killed, too, by the gun.
All right. So Cowboy Jim gets his nads blown clear across the room, right?
Yes.
Hence the high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
Then the announcer comes on, and what did he do? Kill himself?
I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. You didn't really think about it. The audience is left with the impression that the announcer came on and just decided to commit suicide after giving all the, you know, after telling the kids to stand by for a cartoon.
Well, I...
You see what I'm saying? In other words, to me, it doesn't make sense. And I'm going to have to punish you. I'm punishing you, Phil, now because I want you to sing the Cowboy Jim music. Go do it.
Wait a minute.
I said to do it.
I don't even know...
Make up lyrics if you don't know them. You come on the air, have the announcer say, stand by for a cartoon, and then he blows his head off in front of the kids. You bastard! You bastard! Now sing it!
Time for the Cowboy Jim song. I don't...
Oh, what a retard. Start it all over again. Tighten my jaws.
Now it's time for the Cowboy Jim show. There's going to be a lot of things to do.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, do?
I don't know the lyrics to the song.
The hell you don't. Bud says he heard you singing them in the shower.
Heard me singing them in the shower?
Yeah, he said he spent the night at your house.
Bull crap.
I heard you singing something.
Look at Bud. Get out of here before I start to really...
Sing it.
Now it's time for the Cowboy Jim show. I don't know the lyrics.
What up? You know something? All I'm going to tell you is this. You do a bit where the guy blows his nads off and then the announcer commits suicide in front of children. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. This has been the David G. Hall Show. Join me next week as I make Phil feel really bad by telling him...
Yeah, how do you like that? And people asked, how do you feel about that? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Why should I care? I care about like a million other things that happen in this country. One weird cat who's a celebrity walking. Maybe the guy is innocent, man. Have you ever thought about that? Just because he's a freak show. I mean, yeah, okay, it's kind of kooky sleeping with a kid. It doesn't mean he had sex with him. All right, so he was nude from the waist down. Doesn't mean he had sex with him. look. So he crushed up some Quaaludes and threw them into a glass of wine and then forced it down the kid's throat. Doesn't mean he had sex. I don't know. What do I know? What do I know about a guy with no pajama bottoms on? Look at Macaulay Culkin says it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I mean, if I was a molester, I'd go after him. And yet Michael Jackson didn't care. So I think the guy's cool. The guy that ought to go inside, of course, is Joe. Or maybe just get hit by a bus. I don't know which. But I've completely reevaluated the Jackson clan. I think Janet's gorgeous. And I think that LaToya is fine. I think they're all cool. I think Joe, he's okay with me. I think the mom, they're all great. Can't wait for Michael to get on stage there at the Golden Nugget. I'll go in there, you know, come off the blackjack table about 3 o'clock in the morning. Go in there. Maybe Michael's doing the late show. There's like 3 drunks at a table. Anyway, let's enough of this crap, because, Margaret, you have some news. Is that right?
Phil, I've got some wonderful news, and this doesn't have anything to do with anything negative about Michael Jackson. This has to do with Phil Hendry. And I have just, excuse me for a minute, I've got...
What was that?
I'm getting over a cold. Excuse me. Anyway, Phil, I've got some wonderful news. I came from a couple of screenings today, and I had the very, very great pleasure of speaking to Tom Cruise. And as you know, they have a new film coming out, War of the World, and it is...
War of the Worlds.
I didn't hear that, Phil.
Are you on your cell phone?
Yes.
All right, it's called War of the Worlds.
Well, my understanding is it's War of the World, so I don't know.
War of the Worlds. It's the H.G. Wells classic.
The Spielberg film that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
War of the World.
War of the World.
Yes.
The H.G. Wells thing.
That's my understanding, yes.
Well, it's called War of the Worlds.
Oh, boy, you really want to get this off on a bad foot. It's called War of the World.
All right, it's War of the World. Okay, I'm listening.
You know, I don't like being treated that...
All right, I'm sorry. War of the World, what?
Tom Cruise happens to be a very big fan of yours. That's what I wanted to say to you.
Tom Cruise is?
Yes.
I'm very gratified.
And he'd like to come on your program.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
For what? For an interview?
Well, he likes the way you do all of your characters. He just, like a lot of actors, they enjoy your program. But he's a very big fan, and he is offering to come on your program as an interview if you will at least pay a visit to the Scientology Center there on Sunset and at least hear what they have to say. That's all he's asking.
Okay, did you really meet Tom Cruise?
Yes, I did, Phil. I was at the screening today.
All right. And he says he's a fan of the show.
He loves your program, yes. And he wants to come on and do an interview. He wants to spend the whole program being on there with you, you know, everything. But there's one proviso. He wants you to attend at least one lecture of the Scientology elders.
The Scientology elders?
Yes. And I told him, I said, and this is just my opinion, I said to him, you know something, that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable. Can you imagine that? Tom Cruise doesn't do radio interviews, Phil, but he'll come on your program if you'll simply go down to the Scientology Center there on Sunset and attend at least 2 introductory seminars of the elders.
2? It was 1 a moment ago.
Well, it's 2. What difference does it make? It's Tom Cruise. Oh, my God, you're thinking about it? Oh, my sweet, living, riveted Jesus, you're thinking about it. You know something? I'm getting on the phone with David Hall.
I'm not thinking about it. I'm asking myself. First of all, you have to understand. Tom Cruise lectures. That's great. He's willing to come on the show. That's great. Now I got to go down and do 2 lectures at the Scientology Hall. And
well, why would you even think about Tom Cruise? Is probably the biggest movie star in films today.
You don't think Brad Pitt is?
Oh, will you get off of that? You're going to get splinters. Brad Pitt has not made a movie that anyone wants to see in thousands and thousands of years. Tom Cruise, every movie he makes is a hit. Oh, you think Brad Pitt maybe is bigger? Oh, God!
Well, I mean...
You know something? I'm really... You got a pair on you to think about Tom Cruise coming on your program.
I don't want to go down and do a Scientology lecture. You're right, I don't.
So you're willing to pass up Tom Cruise?
No, I'm not. Would you please tell Mr. Cruz that I would like to have him on the program? I just don't want to be in. I don't want
to
do.
He's not going to do it unless you go to the Scientology.
Come on, you gotta go do it.
Are you for real? You're passing this up?
No, I ain't passing it up. It's what time is it?
It's 10 minutes to ten.
Not now. What time are the lectures?
Oh. They are at 10:30 at night, every night.
I don't want to go straight from my show to a lecture on Scientology.
You got some pair on you. Man, you got to have brass balls.
Sounds like you do.
Well, I got a cold.
What's it to you?
And I'm telling you, you know, get David, is Brad Pitt there?
Yes, Miss Graham, right here.
All right, Brad, listen. Get David Hall on the phone.
I will.
Oh, you think David's going to muscle me?
Yes, I do. You got to be a retard.
Maybe I'm an idiot. I'm not saying I don't want to have Tom Cruise on the show. I would love to have Tom Cruise on the show. You got him on the phone already? Boy, you two guys have got a symbiosis, man.
So that's why you don't want him on the program. Pole smoking.
Okay. I want Tom Cruise on the show. I just don't want to go...
Oh, nice one. Are you picking your nose while you're talking? Oh, my God!
Sorry, man. Something itched. I want him on the show. I just don't want to have to go down and attend 2 Scientology seminars with the elders. Maybe she means Larry Elder. Maybe it's Larry and his girlfriend. That I wouldn't mind. If Larry would leave the room, just leave his girlfriend. We take plastic. We take it all, baby. Just go to where it says, listen weeknights 7 to 10 p.m., all right, Pacific. When you go to that little page, it'll say, haven't subscribed yet? Click here for more info. Click on that. And then...
What an idiot. Why don't you just go to subscribe?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind that. Just go to the place that says subscribe. Well, there isn't any place that says subscribe, you moron. Let me do it. Then you hit that thing, and there it is. Sign up for a backstage pass, and then you'll be able to see our webcast. So that's Friday night at 7. The other thing I want to tell you is we have raised for my friend's place this year a considerable amount of money, thanks to you guys. I don't know. I think we're up over 100 grand, 150 grand, something like that, since we started selling the CD. Well, probably more. But in any event, if you'd like to pick up our CD, The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004... And, you know, God, the 2005 is about ready to start making that one, man. You know.